You're listening to MedX, the Medical Extrusion Podcast, presented by U.S. Extruders. Extrude with confidence. Custom extrusion equipment designed for you and your application.
Matt, it's great to have you on the MedX Podcast.
Steve, it's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to talk to you about Renegade Medical Extrusion and all the great things you do. And I looked on your website and see some of these interesting programs. I want to talk about them as well as the extrusion capabilities. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about Renegade Medical Extrusion and really want to understand, you know, the journey that you've had from being a technician, I believe an extrusion technician. And then We met the first time several years ago when you were specifying a line for a major medical device OEM located in Flagstaff, Arizona. I remember those days and to where you are today. And I'm really interested. I think everybody would be interested in kind of hearing the story. So I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah, so it really began with, just as I talked to folks that were acquiring extrusions, rather for use or for their team, this is back in 2012, call it. The number one complaint was how long it took to get quality extrusions. Price wasn't really an issue. It was just about speed. You know, there was nothing, 4 to 6 weeks wasn't uncommon. And so as I got this feedback, I got thinking, okay, how can I introduce a program to the industry that provides quick turn extrusions, for a worldwide industry, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a whole host of polymers, additives. And so trying to come up with a matrix of in-stock materials that would satisfy, say, 75-80% of the market. And, Steve, PBACs is number one on the list, followed by TPUs. And then you have your one-offs with, PEEK and whatnot. but most cardiovascular, neurovascular devices, it's either a PBACs, a soft durometer, urethane. And so I found that stocking these materials enabled us to turn these extrusions around quickly so that the customers didn't have to wait, right? Because as we all know, speed is king in this market. And if our customers are first to market, they're going to take majority market share. And it's our responsibility to help all the customers achieve that goal. And so as we laid out the materials, the equipment we needed, running tooling that allows us to change tool sizes in a matter of minutes versus hours, tearing down the machine in, again, 30 minutes or less versus hours, allows us to do these quick turn extrusions. So we also introduced an online store where we were stocking engineered polymers in tubing form. Customers, engineers can get these overnight, start building with them. There's one thing I discovered throughout my experience with catheter engineers is really in the beginning, they just need something to really chew on and then call us back for something more specific. You know, once they define what the wall thickness is, what durometer, then we can do a custom run in a matter of days. And so that's really what it is. It's helping our customers get to market as fast as possible.
Okay. As somebody that's been involved in starting a new organization, a startup, and bringing it through to eventual sale, we'll say, and then doing this again, or one thing that I heard somebody say recently is that they've never seen a medical device contract manufacturer go out of business, right? I guess you have to be pretty bad, but the industry is so vibrant and solid that if you work hard and have a solution and you innovate and you say, you're honest, you're going to do pretty well. Are there any lessons learned from your perspective? I know that you don't want to give experience or lessons learned to maybe a potential competitor that's going to start an extrusion operation. But in general, as a med tech contract manufacturer, any lessons learned for aspiring entrepreneurs in the med tech manufacturing space?
Yeah, absolutely. I think number one is listen to the customer, right? The voice of the customer is number one. Two are the employees. You know, you got to have a consideration for the employees. When I started Apollo Medical Extrusion back in 2013, I was an extruder at the time. Mm-hmm. And my entrepreneurial experience through the journey of Apollo led me to start Renegade with the intention of Renegade becoming an employee-owned business. And so a little different mindset now, because the culture of the business is critical, not only for the employees, but the customers feel it as well. And so just carrying that on is very important to me.
That's excellent. Let's talk a little bit more about innovative medical extrusions that you offer, just kind of at a high level, some of the capabilities. And you said something earlier about speed is king, right? What I tell people in a different context in med tech, profile is king, right? Thinner wall thicknesses, yeah, to allow more space within the lumen for solutions, devices, other catheters. Talk a little bit about the capabilities and some of the real interesting capabilities. Like, you sent me this sample here of the 25D 40 thou ID with, I think, what was the wall thickness on this one again?
2 thou,
real thin wall, difficult extrusion. Talk a little bit about some of the innovations offered in particular thin wall extrusions and multi-lumen.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the thin walls, that enables a larger real estate on the inner diameter and still achieving, say, a 7 French design. Right, because in any given discipline in the medtech space, there's a preferred French size that our customers are targeting based on population. And well, they want to pack that 10 pounds of stuff into that 5 pound hole, if you will. Yeah. And so it's our job to figure out, as a contract manufacturer, how to help them achieve their goals. And, you know, multi-lumens, you know, you bring up the multi-lumens, and although you can achieve the same wall thicknesses and profiles as you know, as far as the wall thickness goes, there's certainly design considerations. I'm not talking about asymmetrical versus symmetrical. You know, we can extrude anything that's wonky, but when it comes to the actual lumen sizes and stuff, you've got to consider the machining capability. You know, can I machine that lumen and still put an air hole in it for the internal air that needs to run into that particular lumen?
Yeah. Can you make the tool?
Right.
Can you start with the tool? Before we even extrude, can we make and fabricate this tool? Good point. You know, I see that you also offer some pretty interesting Renegade programs. Outlaw experience, lawless experience. Talk to us a little bit about what you're up to there.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I pride myself in is allowing customers, not just in our building and inviting them into the conference room, but we'll let them come out on the extrusion floor, you know, just short of actually touching the equipment, obviously, for, you know, safety reasons. But they can come out and experience what it takes to make the tubing that they're asking for. Or if they have a matrix of sizes, durometers that they want to run through, our Outlaw experience allows them to come in and we'll knock out a gamut of extrusions for them with them. And more importantly, what I've found is customers have a hard time specifying their tubing dimensions to meet up with their component. Well, I welcome them to bring that component in-house with them, and we can mate it up real time, so they leave with exactly what they came for.
That's so valuable, Matt, because, you know, we've all talked, we do all these podcasts and we have these MPPE events, and one of the major themes is DFM, designed for manufacturability. And, you know, what better opportunity to come in, and that opportunity they are offering is very rare, right? People don't want organizations, contract manufacturers don't want to bring people in beside looking through a glass window at their equipment, but to bring them right on the extrusion line, like you said, without touching anything, and to run different extrusions, maybe different wall thicknesses, go back on a bench and maybe try something out, that's really DFM, right? That's a great opportunity and a great service that you provide.
Yeah, you know, and really when it comes to multi-lumens, what I enjoy when the customer comes in is educating them on the extrusion process. Now, I'm not going to encourage them to go buy an extruder, but if they want to, great. Mm-hmm. But where it's critical is understanding. Yeah, exactly.
Come call me if you do, but go ahead.
But what it takes from a design perspective, you know, and the challenges with multi-lumens and understanding the intricacies, the flow rate between, you know, in the gaps between the lumens, so that they can actually design a tube. And, you know, and I'm not trying to discredit what they can and can't do, but a lot of times we'll get a drawing that, you know, either the tolerance stack up doesn't work or whatnot. But if I can help them make a better drawing, even that just makes my job even easier.
Yeah. Plus when you go, like I said, scale from, you know, R&D to production, and validation, it's going to make that path much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned earlier about, your store. I want to talk a little bit more about that. And there's a wide range of tubing samples that you have on the store. Talk a little bit about that briefly, but also how that also could transition to a more customized extrusion down the road. Like you said, somebody might just need a sample on their desk, you know, the next day for a prototype, but then say, okay, I need a little thinner wall or a thicker wall. I need to add another lumen, change the material, maybe throw some Pro Putt Plus in, whatever. Tell us a little bit about the distinction there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you hit a lot of the nails on the head there. You know, the store, what it's really designed for is prototyping, you know, something so the engineer can get something overnight. High quality is the same quality as they were to order a custom extrusion. You know, we don't let quality suffer because it's an online store product. But yeah, like you said, if they don't know if they need a 35D PBAX or a 40D, they you know, they can buy those two different durometers, get them overnight, determine which one they need, call us back, and, you know, we can customize that extrusion for them. You know, the other benefit of the store is that it's a purposely designed store, meaning, you know, I can give you the rundown. It's 2 to 12 French. There's two different wall thicknesses of each French size. Available in all durometers of PBAX, including nylon 12. They're all 48 inches long. And so the benefit really is if the customer is looking to build a multi-durometer variable stiffness catheter, they don't have to worry about finding the right sizes throughout the different stores. They can come to one source, find all the sizes, the exact size of all the different durometers that they need, and build their product right away. And one thing to mention, you know, these are, again, purposely designed Renegade sizes that, you know, they're not customer overruns. You know, they're purposely built for a reason. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good point. I think when the online stores started back, you know, maybe 10 years ago by now, I don't know, but it was, I think, hey, what about all these overruns? Let's sell them. That was the intent, to sell overruns, but that's not your intent at all. It's to develop product specific.
Yeah, no, you know, we have NDAs with customers, and sure, a tube, one could say a tube's a tube's a tube, but it's really not, right? I have an NDA with a customer. That doesn't give me the right to sell their product on a store.
Yeah.
Get publicly available.
Yeah. One last thing I want to cover relating to capabilities, which I didn't mention earlier. You sent me some nice samples of balloon tubing. So you have, I know you have a lot of experience in extruding balloon tubing. It's amazing that some people don't know the difference between like a reflow extrusion of nylon TPU or PBAX versus a balloon tube. A lot of differences. You sent me this, a 74D PBAX, 97% concentricity, 450% elongation, and also this 55D TPU isothane balloon tube. Just at a high level, can you talk a little bit about the differences between an extrusion for a reflow application, for instance, versus an extrusion for balloon forming?
So a balloon tube, they put specific requirements in place because it goes from the extrusion process right into the balloon forming process. Whereas a tube designed for a reflow, it's just that they're reflowing and, you know, basically remelting the polymer. So regardless of pretty much any of the properties that I instill in the tubing, it kind of negates once they remelt that polymer down and, you know, and use the heat shrink. Where a balloon tube, again, you know, it's used as is in the balloon forming process. And so high concentricity prevents the banana shaping of balloons. The elongation, you know, the tube's got to be able to stretch as they're blowing that balloon. So hitting those elongation values. And so the tooling used in the extrusion process is very narrowed down for balloon tubing. And what I mean by that, Steve, is a tube for a reflow process, I can find you a dozen different tools that will make the same ID and OD. Yeah. Now, that's true for balloons, but of those 12, only one's going to make a good balloon.
Great point.
So really the difference.
Yeah. Now, I've heard, you know, 97% concentricity, that's beautiful. If you brought that to somebody that's in a reflow process, and I've heard people say that, oh, we're just reflowing, I don't need that. But for balloon tubing, you do need it.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen some pretty wacky results on reflow. Like, we did a 4-lumen asymmetrical design. The final spec between these two particular lumens was only a 4-thou minimum. Well, we found in the extrusion process, we had to make that 16-thousandths in order for them to maintain enough wall, right? Because material takes path of least resistance.
Yep.
Same holds true in the reflow process. And so in order to maintain enough wall, we had to go 4 times thicker so that the material dispersed throughout that reflow process properly.
Ah, interesting. Great feedback there. Great points. Thanks for covering that. Just kind of wanted to cover one thing, since you talk to so many people and you see different trends. We talked about low profile, thinner wall thickness, some of the alternatives, right, to PTFE, for instance, that PFAS compliant and the Propel Plus extrusions. Any other trends that maybe you see? I know you don't want to share anything IP related, but anything you see that you want to share, that you can share, related to trends and future direction in med tech?
You know, it's real interesting. It's always thinner is the biggest trend, you know, and we kind of touched on it with multi-lumens, you know, single lumens. You know, again, sure, you can extrude these over a core, but doing it in a free air atmosphere allows for ease of assembly later on.
You know, the extrusion does have limitations as far as thinner walls. And I've heard people say, yo, I've extruded down to 1-thou or 7/10, maybe one time. Is that, you know, repeatable and validatable, I guess, is the question, right?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. Yeah. So believe it or not, it really comes down to the polymer and its ability to go that thin. Mm-hmm. For instance, PBAX has a far superior property, and this is really any of the durometers, but obviously the stiffer you go, the thinner you can go over, say, TPU. And again, it's the physical limitations of the polymer. Now, the extrusion process is responsible to achieve those thin walls, but really what it comes down to is material flow. And you have in the extrusion process, you have a die and a tip, and the space in between, what we call the annular gap, has to be so large in order for the polymer to even flow through it. Well, now you're talking about a certain amount of area. Well, polymers will only draw to a certain amount of area. And so if you're starting with, say, a 6-thou or an 8-thou wall coming out of the tool set, you can kind of see right there how it's difficult to get that wall down to a 0.5-thou.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, a 0.5 to 1-thou, you think, oh, you know, it's only a 0.5-thou thicker. No, it's 50% thinner, right? So every step you reduce that wall thickness, it's exponential of how much energy it takes to remove that wall.
Excellent. Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Matt. And thanks for coming on the podcast. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, I had a great time, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Good luck at MD&M West as well.
Oh, we're looking forward to it.
All right. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to MedX, the Medical Extrusion Podcast, presented by U.S. Extruders. Please subscribe to make sure you're getting the latest episodes. For video episodes, go to us-extruders.com/podcasts. All links are available in the show notes.